Welcome to another episode of Getting Into Information Security, where we talk with InfoSec professionals and learn how they got into the field. I'm your host, Eamon Elswa. Today, my guest is Rob Carson, and we talk about his transition from the Marine Corps as an infantry officer to information security. Rob Carson is founder of SemperSec. Rob knows how to simplify the problem and deliver solutions. And he likes to put things in perspective.
You know, at the end of the day, like, I wasn't getting shot at. I worked at climate control, you know, so people would be all stressed out. I'm like, well, no one's going to die, so it's okay. Like, it's not great, but they can only fire you. They're not going to kill you.
His distinguished career includes service as a Marine Corps infantry officer, as well as leading roles in IT and security.
It wasn't as hard as I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. I was nervous, though. What I figured out at first was that it was really just different weapon systems and how to employ them. And that's what I'm good at.
Rob built highly successful information security programs for ISO, PCI, HIPAA, NIST, and GDPR.
I used to have a full head of hair. Like, a couple ISO projects later, like, it's gone.
He also volunteers his time as a chief security officer for B-Sides Las Vegas, a nonprofit education organization designed to advance the body of information security. His clients include Fortune 200 companies, U.S. government contractors, state and local governments, fuel retailers, and software and hardware manufacturers. If you like today's episode, please share with your friends. And if you really liked it, please leave a wonderful review on iTunes. If you have any questions, you could send me questions on Twitter at CoffeeWithEamon or Eamon at GettingIntoInfoSec.com. Great. Let's get to the show. All right, Rob. Thanks for coming on to the show. Appreciate your time.
Hey, happy to be here.
Great. Thanks. So maybe we could start. Tell us a little about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So just quick background. I'm from Colorado, and I left to go to college at Texas A&M, got my degree in maritime administration. So it's basically shipping logistics, which actually helped me out later on, believe it or not. But did that, graduated from that, also went through the Marine Officer Program and became a Marine Corps Infantry Officer and did 7 years in the Marine Corps. Got my master's degree in management science from the University of Maryland. And then when I got out, I started as a project manager at a small MSSP because I was trying to figure out, like, what do? I figure out, well, I was basically a project manager. I did a lot of patrols. Those were all projects. Started a small MSSP, worked my way to VP of operations, and then left there to go to be the head of security for the back end of a large ITSM SaaS provider. And then last year, I started SemperSec and been on my own adventure.
That's awesome, man. Really good stuff. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's good. So tell me a little about the transition from going from the Marines to the private sector.
Oh, so it was an adventure. Like, so I prepped a lot, but I had to learn a whole new vocabulary. So, you know, when you get out, like, it's a totally different language, like SMTP and email. Like, I thought those were two different things. Mm-hmm. Did a whole project on that. And I totally confused when I first started out. But, you know, the good part is the Marine Corps taught me a lot of leadership. So I was good at working with subject matter experts. And I had this team of, like, super nerds that, like, you just do great things as long as I could buy pizza and Red Bull and keep the executives away from them and find DEFCON money. Everybody was happy. But it was definitely an adventure. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, I wasn't getting shot at. I worked at climate control, you know, so people would be all stressed out. I'm like, well, no one's going to die. So it's okay. Like, it's not great, but they can only fire you. They're not going to kill you. It's great.
That's a good way to put it. That's a good way to put it. And then with relations to information security, how was it to adapt into that?
So it wasn't as hard as I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. I was nervous, though. What I figured out at first was that it was really just different weapon systems and how to employ them. And that's what I'm good at. Like, if I'm in the firewall, we're having a really bad day. And I used to be nervous about my lack of technical skills. But it turns out because I'm good at the logic and I understand how the business worked and how people work, I was able to fill my role very well. And it's one of those, okay, you know, because InfoSec now, it's almost like medicine, right? Like, you've got heart surgeons, you got pediatricians, you got, you know, it's the same thing. Like, if you need to do encryption, you go find an encryption guy. Like, that's a thing. It's its own special snowflake. Like, it's one of those, like, you're going to be good enough to know that you should go get a guy. You know, and that's what I am, you know? So, I mean, the way I describe it is, like, it was fun. Like, you know, leading people is awesome. Like, and I like fighting bad guys. Like, you know, granted, at the end of the day, like, you know, I'm not saving people from a refugee zone or delivering, you know, their first time to vote. Like, it's corporate now. But watching people grow, like, I mean, that's one of the best things is, like, some of the people I've hired, like, are doing amazing. Like, and just learning how InfoSec works. But really, it's brilliance in the basics. And at the end of the day, like, you know, you got to have a program, mm-hmm. you got to know what you're doing, and you need to be able to find the right people for that and call the right guy or person.
Okay. Okay. And then what about tooling up? So information security oftentimes has a steep learning curve. So yes. Yeah. So can you talk more about that? You
know? Yeah. So what I did, I started getting my CISA, Certified Information Systems Auditor, because for me, I didn't have a tech background. I had a Wise phone. I didn't have a smartphone. Like I had the Zach Morris phone. It was, you know, it was what it was. Like it wasn't that I was afraid of being of tech. It's just that like I didn't have a lot of tech. Right. Okay. And so yeah, you kind of had to drink the Kool-Aid is the way, best way to describe it. It's like joining a cult or something. Like it becomes your thing. It just becomes your thing. You got to like embrace it and just not be afraid to ask. Like I asked a lot of questions. I had three whiteboards in my office. So my IT manager would come in and like, we had to just draw it out so I could figure out how these things actually work from a logical standpoint, but tooling up and just, and I started tooling up on the compliance side because I know how to run programs. Mm-hmm. That was part of my background and overall management. I knew compliance from a safety standpoint, which isn't really any different. You're just mitigating risk. The risk I used to have to mitigate was how you do aerial sniper shots in nation states that may not be friendly. So you got to make sure your shots are clean.
Mm-hmm.
So different risk, but it's risk and figuring out you're still going to take risk. At the end of the day, if we wanted to be secure, we would just turn all this stuff off. Who knows?
Yeah, then you can't do anything if you turn.
So that's how I tooled up. I did that, and ISO 27001 was a big thing for me. Like understand compliance, and that's what one of the things I tell people if they're not don't come from the tech side is don't be afraid that you're not techie. Just be who you are. The best thing is when you're dealing with engineers, like if you try to play buzzword bingo with them, they're going to own you. So. Yeah. Just be like, hey, is this what this is called? Ask those questions and like making sure you're understanding the compliance side is great because if you can audit, you understand how the business works, you know how processes work, you can fill a major niche inside of information security.
Okay. Yeah. And I think I'd like to get back to the transition part, but I think you mm-hmm. touched upon something with the people part where you see people part as a really big part of your job right now or even in transitioning. So can you talk about that?
I'd been a company commander, so I had 110 Marines. So I knew what it was like to lead, you know, large groups. And I had also led small groups of subject matter experts. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when you're dealing with SMEs, you know, it's paying the king a shilling, like asking their opinion first, not sitting there and, well, I read a book about it. Like, it's just throwing yourself into it, getting in there with them and like, hey, show me how to do this. Like, okay, like, what do I need to know? You know, and asking those questions, like, what do I need to know? You know, and filling your role. And that's where, like, for me, my transition, it was tough. Like I had a lot of things like DLP and like just,
yeah.
I literally had, you know, you make friends, buy people lunch. I would have how like, the whole WebSense DLP, now it's whether it's Fortinet or whatever it's called now, but like that whole thing was explained to me over some ketchup bottles, a salt shaker, right before we were doing an on-site project plan. Cause I could plan a project. I just had to understand like how it all worked.
Awesome.
So it's just buy a lot of beer and don't be afraid to get your nerd on. Like going to the hacker conferences, like that was my pivotal piece. Like for me, it was like the first year I was just a PM and I was doing this. And then like I started getting into it and I really liked, you know, the offensive side. I understood that. I understood the defensive side and running the internal security program. I started to, you know, really start to understand it a little bit. And then I started going to DEF CON and that was huge. It was one of those, you know,
that kind of like basically helped, you know, shoot up your.
Yeah. Well, and the fact that I could go to the classes and like, there was something for me. Now, there were some when they're throwing up command line, like that wasn't the class for me because when I think of command line, I want to run Oregon Trail. You know, I wish I could throw four lines of Python at a problem, but I'm not that guy. Mm-hmm. But you could go to the classes, just the talks and just meeting all the people and just getting involved in the community. Once I realized like we're all a bunch of deviant people, we're all strange in weird ways and like we all fit in because the cool part is it's all about who you are. They don't really care about where you come, like your skin, your ethnic, your sexual preference. It's more about what's in your brain housing group. Mm-hmm. And are you a good person or not? Like, are you trying to front, pretend you, cause like, let's face it, you go to DEF CON, like there is somebody smarter than you probably at the bar stool next to you. So you gotta be very careful. You know, you learn how to humble yourself.
Right. Right. I think humility is something you touched upon early on. So a little bit of humility and just going up to folks and asking them for some knowledge.
Oh yeah. And then building that network. Like I started volunteering. So that was one of the things too. We'd hired a bunch of guys from OWL group. They came in, you know, we had gone to DEF CON and all that stuff. And they're like, hey, you got to go to DerbyCon, which I'm going to like tomorrow, actually.
Nice.
And I started volunteering there. Then I was having a conversation when I was there with a buddy. And all of a sudden, this guy's like, hey, that'd be a great talk. Send it in. And all of a sudden, next thing, me and my buddy are talking at GERCON and start doing talks. and just started to find my passion and find my place in the cyber landscape, if you will, yeah. what I'm good at and being okay with that. But figuring out, like, I don't have to be afraid of not being the cloud architect. Mm-hmm. It's okay. There's a guy for that, but I can do my part.
Yeah. A lot of people, you know, they see all these superstars and they feel like, oh, how am I going to get into this field? Or how am I going to be as good as them? So
yeah,
that's really good to hear. That's really good to hear. So what makes you successful in your job today?
I think it's empathy.
Mm.
So, you know, like I was just talking to a customer today and, you know, they're at that transition point. Like a lot of times I work with customers that are in that SMB space that are going from, you know, either the outsource IT, the one man IT shop, but all of a sudden they've got these compliance requirements for them to grow and they're trying to figure out how to do it. And it's one of those like helping to understand like, hey, I know what you had to do to get here. And I understand it's duct tape and super glue. We're going to change. We're going to grow, but don't feel bad about what it is. Let's start making that continual improvement. Hey, we can't send that stuff to personal email accounts. Like, let's get to mature. I remember, you know, putting in the security program, like we had what we had. I had RSA and Vision. It was awful, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, your two-factor is SMS. We know that's not the greatest two-factor out there. We know it's easily spoofable and stuff like that, but mm-hmm. it's still one of those like helping people get to the baseline so yeah. they can keep growing and go, hey, you know, it's okay. Like, you at least have that. Let's worry about the stuff you don't even have. Like, that's where, like, when people say, oh, compliance sucks, like, I look at it as, like, if you can't do compliance, you're not ready for any real cybersecurity. But helping them not try to boil the ocean. Like, I used to have a full head of hair. Like, a couple ISO projects later, like, it's gone. Like, you know, you can't do it all at once. And understand, like,
right.
at the end of the day, people are doing the best they can with mm-hmm. what they've got mm-hmm. and helping them spread the gospel, if you will, of, you know, of InfoSec and making sure the message resonates and helping, you know, what helps me now a lot of it is helping to understand, you know, some of the most passionate people in the world where they're like, they're ready to die on that hill for something silly. Or it's like, hey, that, I get it. But you know what? At the end of the day, like if you're in a corporate environment, right?
Yeah.
Typically they care about two things. Did you get hacked? Did you pass your audit? Can we mm-hmm. sell? So how does your message resonate with what matters? You know, mm-hmm. and not trying to protect everything. Let's just protect what's most critical to the customer. So that they stop trying to worry about all the things that don't matter. You go, okay, this is the crown jewels. This is what we're going to care about first.
Right, right. It's about, like you said, not trying to boil the ocean. So coming in there, taking some baby steps, increasing that security maturity, quote mm-hmm. unquote. But, you know, taking baby steps as opposed to coming in chicken little, sky's falling, right?
Yeah, exactly. And simplifying the solution. Half of it's like, because I used to over-engineer stuff. I've made policies for the sake of policies. Like, I've done it. Like, that's the thing. Like, I like to call myself a lessons learned enthusiast.
Oh, okay. I like that.
I like to learn the hard way a lot of times of, like, how not to do it. So that's why I tell customers, like, well, don't do it that way. I did it that way. It didn't work. Let me tell you why. But explaining, you know, having that strategy of, like, okay, you know, working through those programs and helping them understand, okay, hey, you don't want to do it that way. That's going to be a bad idea. I know that sounds great in theory, but you need to push that responsibility someplace else. Because mm-hmm. you know what? It's not your decision. You let the business owner sign off on that. And that's a great way to start solving problems. You know, that's why coaching, a lot of it's just coaching and going, hey, well, if you can get your boss to sign off on that, that's great. You know, and the boss is like, well, I'm not going to sign off on you having some stupid game on your laptop that gets hacked and it hacks the whole company. Like, yeah, okay. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Our job is to let them know the full picture, right?
Because it's not a security business. Typically, unless you're in, even if you're in an MSSP or in a security company, you're only doing security so you can sell and make more money. You're not doing it just because the hackers are coming. You're doing it to protect revenue.
Yeah, yeah. Unless you're an actual security company, right? Which is like, then your reputation's on it and all that. But
your reputation matters, but it's like, there's a great quote. I'm giving a talk on guerrilla warfare in a little few weeks here. A great quote from John F. Kennedy. Where he was basically talking to, you know, they were asking about the space program. And he was like, I don't care about putting a man on the moon. But what he did care about was beating the Russians.
Mm, there you go.
And that's what it's like people understanding, like, hey, don't feel bad they don't care about your program. Find out what they care about and go.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good way to look at it. And now a message from our sponsor. Are you faced with too many email alerts and notifications? Don't have the time to create filters or set preventative or even corrective controls in your environment? Wish you had a SOC to take care of all the digging through logs and false positives? Well, we have a solution for you. The USB SOC. Simply plug in the USB disk and using the latest AI and machine learning, it will go through your inbox and notifications and do all the work for you. Just give it all your credentials and it will log into your SIM, verify if it's an incident or not, and log into your environment and remediate the change. But wait, there's more. If you act now, we'll also include the preventative feature pack. The preventative pack will enable controls in your environment to prevent such an occurrence again. So that user that's always opening 0/0 security groups to the world will have their permissions removed and sent a friendly notification. This is all done with the latest AI and blockchain technology. Order the USB SOC today for 3 easy payments of $19.99. Help improve your work-life balance. So I remember when we talked last time, you had this like whole metrics program put together and it sounded pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little about that and how some of your military experience kind of helped influence that?
Sure. So, you know, it's one of those things, you can't manage what you can't measure, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like I said, you have two big metrics, right? There's a lot of stuff that boils up into that, right? So how do you make sure you're going to pass your audit? How do you stay at that 90% audit ready? Like when you go into the audit for the actual cert or whatever, that third party audit, like there should be no surprises. If you ought to find something, it should be like, oh, we didn't know about that. Holy cow. Like you shouldn't be shocked. So like what I do is I put metrics together that I truly define the metric where I'm breaking out like how we're going to do it. Okay, so the metric, like, it's here to meet this control. So let's say we're, and it's not necessarily, are we stopping hackers with a process? Like let's say it's offboarding, like, or onboarding. Number of employees onboarded versus background checks, because we're just trying to make sure we're doing our background checks. And the goal of it is, you know, does this process happen? Because you don't want to find out that you haven't been doing background checks because HR decided that that hurt people's feelings or something. I don't know.
Right.
And so it's...
What, you don't trust me?
Yeah, exactly. And so you build it out and you define how you're going to measure it. So you measure it the same way every time. So the idea is that you can give that to somebody else to do. And also the biggest thing is that red, yellow, green at the end of it, the so what? If you're not making a decision off of that metric, what is the point? Like you should go like offboarding or onboarding, right? So there should be, hey, we have a problem and we need to have a meeting and there needs to be action taken to figure out why this process isn't working, right? Like, there should be some definitive action that comes from it. Otherwise, okay. I mean, if you're not going to do anything about it, then don't measure it. And I say with the Marine Corps, the tie-in with the military part, it's keeping stuff simple. Again, like I call it, you know, breaking it down Barney style, because they're humans. We're all working our butts off. And like most people aren't nefarious. People are trying to do the right thing, you know? And so it's to alleviate the concern and keeping stuff less stressful. It's like, that's why you just make it clearly defined. So it's like, it's a repeatable process. And then you figure out like, okay, let's say when you first started, you have 10 metrics. You know, your goal should be maybe the first round, you're just trying to get 25% of them automated. And then your future goals is like, okay, how can we automate the rest of these things so we don't have to go collect them?
What is your advice to folks, particularly in the military, looking to transition into information security? What is something that, you know, you think would benefit them? Or what are some steps they could take?
Oh, good question. So I would say start joining the local chapters. So if you're...
Chapters of?
Chapter like ISSA, Cloud Security Alliance, ISACA, whatever it is, start going. And like, it's okay to say, I'm a noob, I don't know. But don't be scared and don't be afraid. Like I was an infantry officer. I barely had a computer half the time because I had a rifle and a radio. So it's one of those like, don't be afraid of it. And understand it's more than that, you know, military guys, we all do this stupid information assurance stuff. Where it's like, you do this online training once a year so you can keep your email address, and it's usually pretty awful. It's much more than that. And don't be afraid. There's a ton of veterans in there, and there's a lot of veterans programs that they're trying to recruit to get people in. And, you know, to understand, like, the first job you get is the hardest job you'll ever get in InfoSec. It'll be the hardest job to get is that first step in. But, you know, there's multiple ways to get in, either through the compliance side or project management side, or you can go to a school and get a cert. You know, I got my PMP when I got out.
Okay.
So that helped quantify what I did, because it's one of those things, like if your resume says you were a jungle warfare specialist, well, that's great. But guess what, guys? Nobody's hiring a jungle warfare specialist. So it's not relevant. Or why would it be relevant to the job? If it's not relevant, you got to cut it out. And it's hard. Like it's one of those, like, you know, I taught urban combat in Moldova. I was super excited about that. Like, yay. And guess what? It's not on my resume because you know what? Nobody cares. It's a cool story, but it's not relevant to what I was trying to get hired for. So, you know, understanding that, and like, if you're still in, start training out, go get a cert, go get a security plus, get that. Like, that's a great entry level cert. You know, I wouldn't go try to go get your CISSP, because if you have your CISSP and you have no experience, it's not going to do you any good. In my humble opinion, like, I think it's better to, you know, if you have the experience, go get the CISSP, but, you know, go get a cert, get something that resonates, because, you know, and you don't have to have a college degree, you know, and this is probably bad. I got a master's degree, but understand this. Like, I've hired two of my top engineers. One of them had a GED with a 200 level IQ, and the other kid, he's got 2 years of college and he's making $170 a year now. Like, you don't have to have a degree, but you do have to have the aptitude and attitude and the drive, which most military people do. Like, we don't understand 9 to 5. Like, you go home when it's time to go home. And that's how it is in InfoSec. The hackers don't show up at 9 a.m. on Tuesday after your first cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It'd be nice. It doesn't work that way. So, yeah. Like, it's one of those, you know, look at those veteran training programs, because there's a ton of them that'll get you straight in and get that entry-level job. Go make your bones in a SOC, in Security Operations Center.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you'll start off low. But low pay in even in InfoSec is not very low. Mm-hmm. And like, it will go very fast. I hired a girl from the help desk, and within 2.5-3 years, she went from 40 to 80. You know, because she was awesome.
Yeah.
But she drank the Kool-Aid too. That's the other part is, you know, just like in the military, you know, I had a first sergeant that told me your hobbies should reflect part of your career.
Mm.
Right? That was a great piece of advice. As an infantry officer, like, you should be out hiking on the weekends or shooting rifles, or you should be, you know, right. Your hobbies should help what you do.
That's cool.
Like, yeah. Volunteering at InfoSec conferences, like, that's a great place to meet people. Because if mm-hmm. you're there and you're volunteering, like, you're going to make friends right away. Like, mm-hmm. I'm a CSO for Las Vegas B-Sides. Like, that's a great place to come out and meet people and, like, just make connections, because people are looking, and if they have a choice, because when they're hiring entry-level security people, they know they're going to have to train them. And there's a million of people want that job. So, the way you're going to get it is somebody goes, the dude's he's passionate about it.
Right. Like, passion. There you go. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And I think the Kool-Aid part you mentioned too, because, you know, don't expect to be spoon-fed, right?
No.
You got to go out there and maybe, I mean, I've never been in the military, but, you know, is that something where in the military they kind of just train you to do X, Y, Z? You know, what is there any mental adaptation necessary to transition?
Yes and no. So some of the adaptation that you will have to deal with is, some of your bosses might suck.
really?
I think the military, at least the Marine Corps, in my humble opinion, does a great job at leadership training.
Okay.
And I made a lot of my mistakes as a second lieutenant. I think if there was any Marines listening to this that were my Lance Corporals at the time, they'd probably be able to tell you some stories. But they don't do a very good job of leadership training in the civilian world. It's a lot of times people get promoted because they're good at something, so they put them in charge, but they don't really know how to be a leader. And they aren't going to care as much about your personal whatever as we do in the military.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah, it's one of those, like, they should. You should know your people. But it's not always the same way for everybody. And so understanding, like, the same level you might be used to, even if you didn't think it was all that great, it can be worse. But if you have that drive and motivation, you can sail right through it. I would say that and other adaptations, like, oh, yeah, so if you're getting out, this is what I'll tell you what I did. Mm-hmm. There's a set of podcast tools called How to Interview Series, or Manager Tools. Best thing ever. I went to Steps and Taps twice. It was terrible. So that's actually the best set of how to interview stuff. Like, I literally would record myself every night answering 3 or 4 questions, explaining like why that was relevant to something, practicing, train how you fight, just like we did in the military. Same thing applies in civilian world. Train how you fight. And then I would videotape myself once a week, because my wife would tell me I would start knife handing and like scowling at people when I'd start talking about something. I was like, ah, no, honey. Like, turns out, like, I watched the video. She's like, well, watch the video. Oh, okay. And like, learn how to smile and like understand that. I'd say the other transition too is the military's definitely done a lot of transition. I think the generation, the newest generation, the millennial generation, like, technically I'm a senior millennial if I know what article I read, but, you know, understand that if you came from the infantry, like at my time, there weren't any women in the infantry. So the rough housing, the stuff that goes on, you know, is different, and, you know, a little different level of professionalism. But at the same time, you're an AC. It's great.
You're an AC. Climate, like, control.
It's not that bad. Remind yourself, like, you ain't getting shot at. It's okay. The other thing too, like, I remember, funny story. So I was all nervous about how to dress, right? Because in the military, you have a uniform. That is probably the one thing that was hard for me, was how to dress. Because, like, because you know what to wear every day, and, you know, it's told. Like, right. That, it's pretty, it's solved for you.
Yeah.
And, like, so when I interviewed at my first company, like, I met these guys. This guy was, like, in a tap-out t-shirt and jean shorts, whatever. And then, like, And I talked to my boss. She's like, yeah, just wear, you know, cargo shorts and a t-shirt or whatever. And I wore like a collared shirt, but I, and like, and they happened that day, they were messing with each other and they were all dressed up in suits. And I'm like, what the heck? I got all confused. So, but I would tell you, if you want to be noticed, don't dress sloppy. You know, sometimes you have to tell engineers, like, you've worn that same shirt for the last 3 days. Have you showered? Like, do you have more than one shirt? And that's the thing. Like, so, you know, get some clothes, you know, but it's one of those things, like, the best thing to do is kind of watch how people dress, like, talk to somebody, figure that part out. Like, it's one of those, it's not a big deal, but first impressions matter. Mm-hmm. And so
you could ask a recruiter. I mean, you could even ask a recruiter, you know, hey, what's the dress code? What do you know? All that stuff.
I would tell people for an interview, though, wear a suit. I don't care. They have jobs. You're trying to get a job. You should be dressed in the I need to get a job clothes. They have the I already have a job clothes.
Yeah, that's true. Although I found it actually kind of sometimes backfires with like the younger startups these days and things like that. So,
well, that's why I have skulls. I have a skull liner. So I have skulls in my suit. So it's still cool. But you're right. Like, you got to be careful. And the other thing is, like, lighten up. Like, that's why, like, videotape yourself, like, learn how to smile. Like, don't be so. One of the other things that was tough to transition is calling everybody sir and ma'am.
Oh, interesting.
Like, calling my boss Rob, because his name was Rob too, was weird. And that's, it's a thing that, like, there's nothing wrong with being polite. Mm-hmm. But as you move up, you got to be careful.
And you got to fit in.
You have to be able to use first names and be comfortable. And it's going to be weird at first. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be weird. But yeah, I would say that's definitely, that was one of the things. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm coming back to like, oh yeah, I had trouble with that. Oh, and people don't start meetings on time. Sometimes the corporate culture can be very, very painful.
I know.
Like, so understand that. Take a breath. You're not getting shot at. Like, you don't need to be 15 minutes early. That's the other part, though, is, if the meeting is supposed to start at 10, make sure you're there, you know, dialed in.
Yeah.
Yeah. 5 to 10 or 2 minutes ahead of time is fine.
Right.
But
right.
You don't need to be 15 minutes early because they're still on another call. They're doing something else. Like, they're not, like, nobody's going to be 15 minutes early.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff to unpack here. Go ahead. Yeah.
And don't show up for your interview like 30 minutes early or something like that. Cause then it's like, what am I supposed to do with you? Cause you got to understand. That's what I tell people too, is like, somebody who's hired lots of people, one page. Your resume should be one page, unless, like, if you're getting out of the military, if you've got less than 10 years in the world, like, one page. Because I'm not going to read past that. So you got to catch my attention in the very beginning, and you're going into three folders, A, B, and C. A, I want to call right away. B, I'll call if I don't find any A's. And C, why did this person apply? And you've got to go, and think of it as phase lines, too. So your job is get the phone interview. Get a resume good enough to get the phone interview. Ace the phone interview. Then get the on-site. Get the offer. Then you can decide if you don't want to take it or not. Oh, and don't know. And if you're probably not going to be any good at negotiation. So, and if you're arguing with me about $2,000, you're not going to see it in your paycheck. So it's not really going to matter. Like, it's one of those, like, you got to make sure you're inside the, you know, you can be outside the box, but you need to stay inside the room. Like, but if you're, the only time you negotiate is if, like, there's like a $30,000 gap or 10, you know, there's something significant that you need to, is a deal killer, but.
Especially on your first job, right?
Especially on your first job. I mean, when you're getting out, like, what I did is I used my base pay rate as my salary request. I cut out the BAH and the other stuff. Cause when you're in the military, you can look at these things and it'll say like, oh, I made $90,000. Well, yeah, but your base pay is this and you got to be willing to start there. Like, I started, and this, I'll share this, like, I went from like 57 to, I mean, I cleared in the first 3 years, I went from 57 to like 120. So don't be afraid that, like, and that's what the cool part about the startups is, the startups, you can, that can happen there. It's pretty unheard of. But if you go to big corporate, you're going to get your 3-5% raise every year. Like, that's what it is. And that's why I would tell you, when you go to those job fairs, they're depressing. They're great for free pens and recon, but don't be afraid to talk to the small guys there, because that's where the opportunity is. Like, there's a million people in line for Lockheed, and don't be afraid. Don't be scared, because, like, what are they going to do? Say no? Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's why, like, 6 months out, start crafting the resume and have people look at it. You know, go to Steps and Taps if you can. 90 days out, or about that point, you should be recording yourself and practicing answering questions. And that's when you can start applying, because, like, the other part too is, you can't apply for a job. You're not available for 6 months. Like, they're trying to fill that spot now.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
I think there's a lot on military transition. So what drives you in information security? Why are you in the field? Where did you get the idea to get into information security? Younger, when you're in the military?
No, it was honestly like I had two PM job offers at the same time. One was with a big corporate company and then one was with where I went. And the big corporate one was a higher salary, actually. But I would have been doing the same thing and it would have been boring. Like,
there you go.
I didn't know anything about InfoSec. And the cool part is like, it's a negative unemployment industry. Like, people aren't making less data. It's still exciting. Like, there's still so much stuff to learn and nobody's an expert anymore at all of it. They can't be. It's fun because you get to channel your inner criminal too. It's like, to be good at the blue team, you got to think like a criminal and go, well, how would I hack this place? Okay, this is what I got to fix. Stop that.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
I got to say the passion is like, it's the adventure. Like, it's always new and you're helping people and you're stopping, you know, maybe you're stopping bad guys, you know? I mean, you know, yeah, I fight bad guys with a keyboard now. It's not as sexy, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of parallels, I think, from transition from military to information security. You are trying to protect something at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Good. This is great. I definitely see a second episode with us in the future. So from a PM, you know, and I have a friend actually that is a PM and he wants to transition to information security. What are some things you would recommend to him?
So understand that like he may not be able to command the same, it depends on where he's, what industry he's in. Like let's say he's in construction. Okay. It's different stuff. Like why, let's say you're paid $100,000. I'm just using round numbers here in construction, right? Like you may have to go back to 80 to go back up to 120. Because a PM in InfoSec, a good one, yeah, they're easily 120, 150. Like the top-notch ones, but they have a lot of experience in security. They know SDLC. They know these different pieces. They know how to put the pieces together and herd the nerds. You know, they know how to go, when the engineer says, it'll take me 2 hours, that means 2 days.
Yeah. Scotty, I need my engines now. There you go. Yeah. So, dude, tell me some war stories. You got any war stories to share?
Yeah, I got to sanitize it, and I got to think through the... When people are freaking out during DR, like, don't yell at your people. I've been yelled at. Like, don't yell at people during DR.
All right, dude. This is awesome. Thanks so much.
It was awesome.
I think there's a lot to be said about those transitioning.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in fact, at DEF CON, some random person came up to me and asked me, hey, I just came out of the Army. You know, where do I go? You know, I installed Kali Linux and what do I do? So, but you got to start somewhere.
You got to start and just be humble and just drink the Kool-Aid. Join the cult. Got to literally like, you just got to like embrace it and understand like there's a lot of important people. They'll tell you. It's like Navy SEALs. Like they'll be sure to let you know how important they are. But like most people are pretty humble. And like as long as you're just asking questions and trying to learn and like being honest, not trying to play buzzword bingo with things you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You're good.
Yeah.
You know?
Cool, man.
Because you read a book on blockchain doesn't make you a blockchain expert.
Blockchain. There you go.
All right. Well, have a good one.
All righty. I hope you had as much fun listening as I did. Rob is a great guy and really had a great time talking with him and getting to know, you know, how it was to get out from the military and transition. So I hope that you found it beneficial as I did. And again, if you like this show or any of my other shows, please leave an awesome rating on iTunes. And we'd love to know more about you guys. Go ahead and sign up on my email list at gettingintoinfosec.com. There you could find a link to sign up. And if you found this show useful for yourself, please share it and let me know. If you have any questions on information security, feel free to ask on Twitter at @coffeewithAmon or shoot me an email, amon@gettingintoinfosec.com. Every week, I let my guests pick their outro music, and this week, it's country and rock. Enjoy.